Adam read a moment ago, we read with him from Joshua chapter 3, first four verses, and let me just remind you what was going on. The Jews were about to cross the Jordan River to go into the Promised Land. They'd come out of Egypt 40 years ago or so, and God had to punish them, because when he brought them to Kadesh Barnea the first time, when they got ready to go into the Promised Land, they didn't believe that he was able to help them get into the Promised Land. Remember, they sent spies out, and the spies came back and said, boy, God sure is right. The land that he talked about is a land that flows with milk and honey, and everything is good there, but there's giants there. There's walled cities. We just don't, and we look like grasshoppers compared to them. And they refused to go in, and as punishment, God had to have them wander in the wilderness for 40-some years till everybody that was over 20 years old died, except for two people, Caleb and Joshua, two of the 12 spies that went in. And when the other 10 said, we can't do it, they said, you know, we can't do it, but God can. Let's just trust him. Let's just trust God. And so 40 years has passed. Everybody over 20 years old has died. Moses is now dead, the leader who led them through the wilderness. Joshua is leading the people now, and again, they're about to cross the river, the Jordan River, and go into the land of Canaan. Another miracle is about to happen. Just like the Red Sea some 40 years earlier had been split, and the people of Israel went over on dry ground, so the Jews were about to cross the Jordan River on dry ground. Joshua's going to have the priest carry the Ark of the Covenant, that chest that Moses built at God's instruction. He was going to have the priest carry the Ark of the Covenant into the Jordan River. And when those priests, when their foot stepped down into that river, the waters parted and they stood on dry ground, and the people were to go over on dry ground. And so Joshua here in these first few verses of chapter 3 was giving them some instructions. And he says in verse 4, yet there shall be a space between you and it, between you and the Ark of the Covenant, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. He says, here's what I want you to go. Well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to follow the Ark. Because, he says, you have not been this way before. You didn't go in last time we were here. It's not a path that you are retreading. It's a new path that you're going to walk. And so he says, I'm going to send the Ark of the Covenant before you, and when you see it, you get up and go so that you know the way that you can go, because you have not passed this way heretofore. So that's my message, the theme of my message. If I would have you remember one thing about my message is there are places that we are going to go that we've never been before. And what we need to do, I'm just going to tell you what I'm going to preach about, then I'm going to preach about it, and then I'm going to tell you what I preached about. Maybe some of you will remember. But there are places that we've never been before that we're going to go, and what we need to do when we get ready to go to those places is just follow God. Just follow him. And because we don't know. We've never been there before. You know, when you go someplace that you've been before, you know how it works. I go to a lot of different airports, and I've grown accustomed to them. I could take you to Providence, Rhode Island. I can take you right through the airport, know where the car rentals and the baggage and all that other stuff. First time I went there, I didn't know. I had to follow the signs. I don't have to look at the signs now. I know because I've been there before. I could do the same thing in Philadelphia and in Dulles, the airport in Dulles. I could do the thing in Jacksonville and Jackson, all those different places. I could go without looking at the signs because I've been there before. But there are places that I go that I've never been before that I have to follow directions and have to follow the signs. And that's what God says. You're going to go places that you've never gone before. And when you go, just follow me. All right, I want to say four things this morning. Number one, the nation of Israel was going to a different place. They'd been in the wilderness for 40 years, that barren, dry wasteland. God had to feed them with manna from heaven, and he sent quail every now and then so they could have meat. He gave them water from rock. There was no fruit trees there. There were no vegetables that grew in that desert. It was a time of death and despair. Just think of all the funerals that they had in those 40 years as perhaps 1.5 million people came out of Egypt, and every single one of them died except for those that were under 20 and Joshua and Caleb. I mean, they probably had a funeral or two every single day. Again, all in disobedience because they would not follow God. They would not obey God when he told them to go into the promised land. Now, all of that was going to change. They were going to go into the land of Canaan, a land that God had prepared for his people, a land of milk and honey, a land where there were rivers and streams and lake, a rich land where there were vegetables and fruit trees, a land that God had made just for his people. I think we can get a taste of heaven by thinking about the land of Canaan. Because just like God prepared the land of Canaan for the Jews, God now is preparing heaven for us. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also." And so Jesus is in heaven right now, preparing a place for all of us that know him as our Savior. And I think we can get a picture of that and feel the love of God as we look at the land of Canaan and know that God prepared that land for his people. And so they've been in the wilderness for 40 years. That was about to change. They were going to a different place. It was going to be a different way of life. It was going to be something that they weren't used to. It was going to be something perhaps strange and for sure different. And I would just submit to every single one of us this morning that either right now or tomorrow or the next day that we are going to go to a different place in our lives. None of us know what tomorrow holds. None of us know what's going to happen in our lives tomorrow. There could be good things that happen. I mean, somebody in this congregation tomorrow could get a new job. A job that you never had before. You could go to work for somebody new, somebody that you never worked before, and get a new opportunity. That's a place that you have not been before. There could be a new baby that comes into the house, like that one, just like that, like that one. Thank you, Sarah, for illustrating my point. But there could be a new baby that comes into the house, and you're going to go someplace different, and maybe it's your first one, and it'll be different, or maybe it's your third or fourth one, and it will be different. I mean, there are places that we will go in our lives that are different, that we've never been before. Maybe today, this afternoon, maybe tomorrow, you'll meet a new friend. A person that will change your life in ways that you can't imagine. That could happen to you tomorrow. And so there are good things that will take us to places we've never been before. New things, good things that will take us to different places that we've not been. But on the other side of the ledger, there may perhaps be things that we would not consider good that will change our life equally. There may be things that if we could choose, we would say, "Hey, I don't want this as part of my life. God, could you just keep this out of my life?" And things will change in a way that we don't want them to change. Tragic things. Sad things. Somebody we love gets sick. And we're called to care for them. We're called to watch over them. That will change our life. Financial reverses. I mean, you've read in the paper, just like I have, the many, many different people that are losing their homes because of what's going on in the place that we live. Death to a loved one or a friend. And again, all those things could happen to us this afternoon. They could happen to us tomorrow. They could happen to us next week, next month. We live our life going through a series of things, going through a series of places that we have not been before. And we can say, like the Israelites said, "I've never been this way before. I've never been to this particular place before." I have a friend at work. He's about the same age as I am. He lost his dad this week. And he called me yesterday. I was out of town all week until late Friday night. And he called me yesterday, and we talked for a long, long time. He said, I've stood beside other people that have lost their dad, and I've comforted them. I said, "I know exactly how you feel." And he said, "Dear, I want to tell you, I had no idea how they felt." And I called him by name and said, "I wish I could tell you how I felt, but I have no idea how you're feeling. I still have my dad." But there are places that all of us go to, some by choice, others because we just have to go, that we've never been before. And God says, I know you're going to go to those places. I know you're going to go to places that are new, that are different. Just like the Israelites, this place that they were going to was different. Now, number two, I would remind you, they had gone to different places before. You remember, they were slaves in Egypt for 430 years. For 430 years, the Egyptians held them in bondage. And these people that came out of Egypt who were now ready to go into the promised land, yeah, they were kids when they came out of Egypt. They were teenagers. I mean, everybody under 20. But they, all their life, for those first 20 years, they were slaves in Egypt. They never knew what it was to be free. They never knew what it was to own a home. They never knew what it was to have their own fields. They never knew what it was that when they harvested something that they could take it home and have it for themselves because it belonged to somebody else. They were slaves for the first 20 years of their life. I mean, it doesn't matter how old they was, 8 or 9 or 10 or 19, 18 or 19. All they knew was they had a life in Egypt that was a life of slavery. And then one day, this man called Moses shows up, and he says, hey, I've got some good news. God sent me to tell Pharaoh to let you go. We're going to leave Egypt. We're going to go to the land of Canaan. We're going to go to that promised land that God has prepared for us. And they said, man, what's he talking about? I mean, we just can't. Can you imagine being a slave? And we can't. But can you imagine being a slave all your life? Can you imagine being in bondage all of your life? Can you imagine working at a job making $4.98 an hour and all of a sudden you get a job making $100 an hour? I mean, I'm just trying to give you an example that we could relate to. Can you imagine driving a Pinto all your life and all of a sudden getting a Cadillac? Yes, yeah. It was going to be different. I mean, they had to struggle, and it was a life of bondage. I mean, the Pharaoh killed their little babies, and they were going to be free. They could have a normal family life. They could enjoy the blessings that God had prepared for them, and they were coming out of Egypt, and it was something different. And when they went from this place that they knew to this place that was new, how'd they get there? They follow God. God said, hey, follow me. I'll show you the way. I'll show you the way. He sent Moses. Moses was God's servant. Moses was God's instrument to bring them out of Egypt. And he said, you follow Moses. Remember, he took them to the Red Sea, and God parted the Red Sea. And they got on the other side of the Red Sea, and God said, hey, I'll tell you what to do. I'll give you a cloud by day and a fire by night. I know you're going to a place that you've never been before, but just follow me, and I will get you there. They'd gone to a different place before. And number three, how they got there was following God. I would submit to you that every single person in this room has gone to a place in their life before today that you've never been before. You've never been before. You see, you can relate to the Israelites. Yeah, they were getting ready to cross the Jordan River to go into the promised land. They could go back and say, hey, I remember, some of them could, I remember when we came out of Egypt. I remember that the way we got out of Egypt was by following God. And now Joshua was telling, hey, the way you get into the promised land is the same way. You follow God. Do the same thing you did before. And again, I would submit to every single person in this room. Some of you, if it's your first time here, I don't even know you. Some of you have only been here a couple weeks. I know very little about you. But I can say and make a blanket statement, every single person in this room has left a place they knew, a place they were familiar with, a place they were comfortable in, and you've gone to a place that was different. You've gone to a place that was new. You've gone to a place that perhaps you didn't want to go, but you had to go. And you went there by following God. This church was 20 years old last month. And in those 20 years, what we've tried to do as a church is hold up this book and hold up the Savior of this book and say, follow him. Follow him, because he'll help you. He'll help you. We've stood together as a church family and saw your children get married. That was new territory for you. You never had a son-in-law or a daughter-in-law before. I'm finding out it ain't a bed of roses. I love her. She's a sweet girl. But it's new territory for me. We've stood at this place and we've dedicated children, moms and dads, and we've had a word of prayer and asked God to bless their home. New territory. New territory. We've stood around this altar and gathered as a church family around people that got the word that they have cancer. And we prayed and we cried and we went as a church to a place we'd never been before. We stood in this place and we've buried little babies. We've buried teenagers. We buried dads and moms and grandpas and grandmas. And we've gone to a place that we never went before. And in every one of those times, the good and the happy times and the tragic times when our heart was tore out, it was the same. I tried to give you the same message. Let's just follow God. Let's just follow him. The Bible says he was tempted in all points like as we. Not, and a lot of people use that word tempted to think, they think, well, it was just tempted to do wrong. No, it was tempted to remain faithful, tempted to remain true to God. And I can't explain it to you, but I believe what the Bible says. Jesus was tempted in all points like as we. He's gone before us. And all we need to do is follow him. And the little course has been run through my mind all week, goes along with this message. It's that little course that says, my Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Strength for today is mine all the way, and all that I need for tomorrow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. And this morning I want to tell you again, that's all we got to do. Our God is a help. There are people in this room this morning that are struggling with things. They have situations that they're in. They don't know how they're going to make it. They don't know what to do. I'll tell you what to do. Get behind God and follow him. Follow him. There's one place that we're all going to have to go that none of us have been before. It's that thing we call death. Now, there are some people in history in the Bible that went there and came back. I was thinking about them this week. There was that little boy that Elisha brought back to death for the lady that he was staying with. There was that man who was thrown into Elisha's tomb, a soldier who was dead, that once he touched the body or the bones of Elisha, he came back to life. There was a widow's son in the city of Nain who Jesus broke up the funeral and brought him back to life. There was Jairus' daughter. There was Lazarus. There was the boy who fell asleep when the preacher was preaching and fell out of the window and died, and Paul brought back to life. There was Lydia, who Peter went in and prayed for and brought back to life. And perhaps I've forgotten some, but 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people that went back, that went to death and came back. But I'll tell you something. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell how they crossed over. Nowhere in the Bible did we read about what it was like to die. And all 7 of those people died again. We can't go seek them out. We can't find them. We can't follow them because they died a second time. But I know one person who died and came back and never went back to death. I know one person who died and laid in the grave for 3 days and 3 nights. I know one person who came up out of that grave and stayed out of that grave and will stay out of that grave for all eternity. I know one person who not only emptied the grave but defeated death and helps us say, Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? And that one person I'm talking about, I'm sure you've guessed by now, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we get ready to face that new and different situation called death, when we get ready to cross over, we do need to do the same thing that I'm trying to tell you to do now in this life. You need to follow Jesus. You need to follow Him. He will lead you through that valley of the shadow of death and take you into His home, your home in heaven, if you follow Him and you know Him as your Savior. The Bible says that we're all sinners. The Bible says there's a penalty for that sin. The Bible says that when Jesus went to the cross, He paid the penalty for our sin. And He offers to every single person the marvelous, wonderful gift of salvation. I was thinking about it last night. I took a walk. It was a little cold, but I put all my winter coats on and went for a walk. And I got to thinking, why would God love me? Why would God send Jesus to die for me? Why would He send His only begotten Son? Why would He send Him to a cross? Why would He show me that kind of grace? Why would He show me that kind of mercy? I can't explain it. I wish I could. I can't explain it. I'm a sinner. Say, you're a preacher. I'm a sinner. Preachers can be sinners. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. And yet, Jesus died for me. And He died for you. And He says, hey, if you'll receive me, follow me, I'll take you home. I'll take you to heaven. I'll take you to be with God. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, what are you waiting for? Would you receive Him this morning? You're a sinner. You stand under the condemnation and the punishment of sin. Jesus paid that price for you. If you'll take Him, He'll take you. If you trust Him, He'll pay for your sins. Wipe all your sins away. Not only just wipe your sins away, He'll put the righteousness of Himself upon you so that when you stand before God, you'll stand before God justified, just as if you've never sinned. And God offers that to every single person in this room this morning. Now, I know most of you have already made that decision, and I rejoice, but there are probably some here that never have. You've put it off, you've waited. You said at a more convenient time. Let me just beg with you this morning, plead with you this morning. Now's the time. Today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time, the Bible says. And if you're here and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, would you do it? We could help you. Just a second, we're going to stand to have an invitation. You come during that invitation, I'll have somebody take the Bible and from the Bible show you what it is to ask Jesus to be your Savior. To all the Christians that are here, let me remind you once again, as I've tried to over and over and over down through the years, we walk this earth, we don't walk alone. I mentioned it in Sunday school this morning. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Psalm 23, verse 6. You know, the Bible talks about God being omnipresent, present everywhere. As I walk through this life, my God is in front of me, leading me where I need to go. My God is also behind me, whispering in my ear, well, don't turn that way, just stay that way. And when I need a little push, he gives me a little push. When I need somebody to slap me up the side of the head and say, hey, get back in the straight and narrow way, he does that as well. So he's in front of me and he's behind me, but he's also beside me. When I get tired, when I get weary, I feel an arm around me that props me up sometimes. And when I really get wore out and I'm really under the burden, I feel two arms lift me up and carry me. That's the kind of God we have. Let's just follow him. He knows where he's going. He's been there before. We haven't. We're going to a new place. Let's just follow him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the encouragement that comes from this book. Thank you for being that kind of God. Thank you for being a God that goes before, that knows the way, that will lead us if we'll just follow. I pray for those that are here this morning that don't know Christ as their Savior. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would convict them that what they need is Jesus. Nobody else, nothing else, just Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would convict them, that you would draw them, and you would bring them to Jesus this morning.